Maybe you thought I was not going to be here. Well, I'm here. And I'm happy to be here. Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. By Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, a very good Wednesday to you. Nice to be here. I'm live. I'm in Southern California. And yes, I am still in our Southern California-based studios. Here is how the show is setting up for you right now. And I understand this is a very challenging time. I understand it's a very difficult time. I understand it's a very emotional time. I understand that a lot of you want to come here for an escape. I get all of this, but we're going to keep doing what we're doing. We're going to talk about the issue, and we're going to talk about some other things, and I'm going to bank some telephone calls, and I'm going to do some interviews, and it's going to be good, like it is every single day. All right, your telephone number, the aforementioned, is 1-800-636-8686. I've got an interview coming up next segment with the head basketball coach at North Carolina Central, Lavelle Moten. In the meantime, I would encourage you to call 1-800-636-8686. If you don't want to do that, just hit me up on Twitter, at Jim Rome, and you know you can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Lavelle Moten is next. Top of hour number two, we're going to talk some hockey. I knew you could find that horn, Alvin. It's still there. Pierre McGuire, NBC hockey analyst, at the top of the second hour. Top of hour number three, a safety for the Tennessee Titans, Kevin Byard. In and around all of that, it is a podcast day. Every Wednesday, we have some long-form original programming for you. It comes in the form of the Jim Rome podcast. Today, my guests, plural, are Jimmy Connors and his son, Brett. I taped it yesterday. It was a blast. So look for that. Jimmy Connors and his son, Brett, coming up later on today. That's episode 132. We will push it out after the program. All right, then. Now, if you have not watched a second of the NBA this season, you might not know that Alex Caruso goes hard. Well, one more thing. There will be a player profile today for the Smackoff. Back to my man, Alex Caruso. He goes hard. And if you don't know that, that's on you. I've said it before, and let me say it again right now. I know this guy looks like he should be working at a Staples instead of dominating Staples, but those who know, know. And we know that the Caruso show is primetime viewing. It's must-see TV. The Bald Eagle is a legend. And if you come at him, you better be perfect. Otherwise, you're going to get clowned hard. And it turns out that's not only true on the court, it's also true on social. It's also true on Twitter. Now, before I continue, as I said earlier this week, this notion of stick to sports or shut up and dribble was always a hideous and terrible argument designed to limit athletes and tell them that they're only good for one thing, playing a sport. It's telling them, we don't really care about your experience. In fact, we really don't care about you at all. Just entertain us. Just play your sport. So with that in mind, and it's a terrible take, it's wrong. So there are two rules in life, two things that you can take to the bank every single time. Here are these two absolutes. Number one, Alex Caruso is a legend. And two, telling an athlete to just dribble is a reason to go. So knowing that, why don't we take to Twitter? Let's check out Twitter. Caruso, under the handle of ACFresh21, retweeted an article from the AP about the Bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Washington criticizing Donald Trump for staging a visit to St. John's Church near the White House. Caruso added this comment, and I quote, "No amount of stage PR photos can hide who this man is. Ego, zero empathy, and inability to lead. The perfect storm." End quote. All right, that's a spicy take now. Spicy take. James Dolan and the Knicks are looking to avoid anything about racism. And I'll have that take a little bit later on. They're looking to steer as far clear as they possibly can on anything like that. And yet the Bald Eagle is stepping right between the ropes and he is throwing and landing haymakers. And as you might expect, that did not go down well with everybody on Twitter. somebody with the screen name of Wayland Smith responded with, and I quote, "Just dribble." And Caruso responded with, quote, "Been playing mostly off the ball this season. I'm good, Wayland." End of tweet. Shut it down, Albie. Let's all just go home. Let me read you that one more time. "Been playing mostly off the ball this season. I'm good, Waylon." Let me tell you, if that tweet was a video, it would have been this.
Rondo, three up high and off the wall. Caruso parachutes in. You cannot stop him. You can only hope to contain him.
Or if that tweet were a video or a piece of sound, it would be this.
LeBron gets it right back to Danny Green. Behind the back to Green. On its way. Does not go down. Oh, the Caruso! The final slam!
Or it would have been this, Waylon.
Got it out to Caldwell Pope. Caruso! Oh-ho! You didn't know he had that in his bag, did you?
You didn't know he had that in his bag, did you, Waylon? If you saw a tweet from a basketball player and you didn't like what that player had to say about your guy, so you thought you'd take a run at him and put him in his place, right? Except Caruso put you in your place. Alex Caruso just rolled up Wayland Smith in a carpet, put that carpet in a giant burlap sack, filled that sack with bricks, and then lobbed it off a bridge. But my favorite part of Caruso's response is the Wayland at the end. I haven't heard somebody use somebody else's first name as an insult like that since Allen Iverson went full first name on Phil Jasner of the Daily News.
Why is that an issue? Because we talking about basketball.
Then let me ask my question.
We talking about basketball.
Let me ask my question.
What? What's your question?
Suppose you
Philip.
Wayland.
Philip.
Wayland.
Philip.
Damn, Alex. Damn, Alex. Why don't you think of this man's family? Alex Caruso just treated Wayland Smith like a helpless defender in the lane. He attacked, he elevated, and then he brought the thunder. Waylon?
Philip.
That's my guy. That's why my guy's got a mural in Los Angeles. That's why he's the people's champ. That's why you can buy official Caruso gear online. Normally, I would say it's never a good idea for a pro athlete to get into it with some rando on Twitter. But Caruso got into it, and he ended it. And Wayland Smith was not the only one to try his luck. Somebody with the screen name USA First and Greatest responded to Caruso's original tweet with, quote, "I think he is leading pretty damn well. Alex, you are probably just protecting your NBA career. I don't think you were raised this way back in CS. Does your dad agree?" End quote. I mean, damn, that's a bit of wild word salad, isn't it? Some word salad for you, Hawk. Word salad. Caruso's tweeting this to protect his NBA career? He's doing it to protect his NBA career. He already has an NBA career. He's already an established player. He doesn't need to tweet things to stay in the NBA. And not only is he in the NBA, my man's a star. And it's amazing to me that you'd be so cynical as to say that he's only doing it and only tweeting to, quote, protect his NBA career. Like, it wouldn't even cross your mind to think that, I don't know, maybe this guy actually believes what it is he's tweeting. Well, he saw that tweet too and responded by saying, quote, "I was raised to not hate. I was raised with love. I was raised to treat everyone as you would want to be treated. And my dad is damn proud of me." End quote. Honestly, USA First and Greatest, you're lucky you got off that easy. Caruso is a man of peace and harmony. Because when you think or when you bring up his family and what his dad thinks, generally, that's a reason for anybody to go. You're asking to get dunked on. Except this guy played it cool. Caruso played it cool, like the understanding, empathetic, merciful icon that he is. But I gotta say, honestly, it did feel good. It felt good to run those clips of Caruso back because it is a reminder that when the NBA returns, it's not just LeBron and Giannis who are coming back. It means the Caruso will be back on the air as well. Alex Caruso will be at Disney World making defenders look goofy. I can't wait. In fact, Alvin, I'm not going to wait. I need more highlights. One more time for the road, Albie.
Rondo, three up high and off the wall. Caruso parachutes in.
LeBron gets it right back to Danny Green. Behind the back to Green. On its way. Does not go down.
Oh, the Caruso! The final slam!
Got it out to Caldwell Pope. Caruso! Oh-ho! You didn't know you had that in his bag, did you?
Didn't. Did you? That feels good. That's good for the soul, but bad for Wayland and for anybody else who wants to try the Caruso. Don't do it. You'll lose. He's not looking to start anything, but he will finish everything. So you better try somebody else unless you are looking to get clowned and humiliated, because that's exactly what's going to happen if you step to the icon that is the Caruso.
See, starting on a light note.
Phillip.
Wayland.
Phillip.
Starting on a light note. All right, in addition to that, I do want to talk about the Knicks. At first, they were not going to issue a statement. Then they did issue a statement, and the statement was not consistent with what they told their employees internally. That's a little heavier. We'll get to that later on. Also, we are now 16 days and 12 shows out. Man, I'm telling you, time is so weird right now anyway, right? But all of a sudden, I show up here this morning, and we are 16 days and 12 shows out from the Smack-Off. I feel like an hour ago, we were 30 days out. Time is weird right about now. So I've got a Smack-Off player profile. Today, Dan in Denver gets the jungle treatment. Gronk is in the news. Gronk is a lot of things, and I have that for you, too. I want to talk a little MMA, or is it boxing, or is it just cringy? Henry Cejudo is still in the news, and I will get into that. Oh, one more topic. Have you seen where baseball ownership would like the players to consider a 50-game season? A 50-game season. That's where we are right now, and I want to get into whether or not that's the best idea ever or the worst idea ever. If you had to speculate, where do you think I'd come out on that? You think I like that idea or not? I'll have that for you, too. I've got Lavelle Moten coming up next segment. I have Pierre McGuire coming up in hour number two. I have Kevin Byard in hour number three. I've got a podcast, which I'm going to push out after the program with Jimmy Connors and his son, Brett. Let's get some reaction really quickly. Wells in the 360 tweets. That's the most fire from Caruso since he said, mark it down. That's an H.
Mark it down.
That's an H. Those two dudes, they have nothing in common. Nothing, Rit. Unless the Caruso wakes up in the morning and eats copious amounts of Rice Krispie bricks, you got nothing in common.
Game on.
It's about time. Game on.
Finally.
Thanks for having me on. Finally.
Finally.
Thanks for giving me the rock. Finally. Get the hell out of my way and watch me do work. Finally.
Finally.
How you like me now? It's about time we got there. Finally.
Finally.
Who's got my donuts? Better have my donuts and my Rice Krispie treats.
Finally.
Dear Jim, internet trolls are hideous. They should just go away. Signed, Hawks Mustache. Syracuse is in. Brian in Syracuse. I like that. All right, so there's your early reaction. Let's break. Lavelle Moten's coming up next. And we will talk some hockey in hour number two. I like that, too. Years of research, hundreds of tests, thousands of iterations. The result? The latest and dreamiest in sleep innovation. Introducing the new mattresses from Casper. Casper has done it yet again with all new mattresses. Are you waking up with back pain? Introducing Zoned Support. Casper's unique ergonomic system designed to keep your spine aligned when you sleep. And there's something brand new called AirScape. Engineered foam layers with perforations that help regulate your sleep temperature from bedding, bed frames, even now a dog bed. Casper has everything to build the dream bedroom for every kind of sleeper. I love my Casper. I have for years. Casper is now offering free contactless delivery. And as always, free returns. All you have to do is go to Casper.com and use the code ROME. Get $100 off your mattress order. Code name ROME for $100 off your mattress order. Terms and conditions do apply. See Casper.com/terms. Casper.com/terms.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Confirming it is Wednesday. It is. Which means it's an ATP day. Ask the Pros is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Submit a question to me at cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. I'll read one later on. And remember to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, we will get some phone calls in a little bit later on. But first up, I'm joined by the head basketball coach at NC Central. He was named head coach in March of 2009. He led the Eagles to the regular season title this season. Last year, NC Central became the first program in the conference to win three straight tournament titles in 30 years. Lavelle Moten is my guest. Lavelle, it's great to have you on the show. First off, I want to thank you for taking the time to come on. How are you and your family doing, and what was the last week and a half been like for you?
First of all, thanks for having me on. I truly respect you guys and everything that you've done in our business. My family and I, we're doing well. We're incredibly blessed. Thanks for asking. Obviously, the setbacks in our country has affected us as a family, has affected me as a man, as a black man, as a head of household who have to raise children and prepare them for a world that exists as we currently see it. So, it's been difficult to say the least, but we're survivors and we'll get through.
Lavelle Moten is my guest. I can certainly appreciate that sentiment. I want to be very, very respectful because what we're talking about is connected to personal experiences that you have had. And as you tweeted the other day, the killing of George Floyd has triggered your anxiety disorder. Would you be okay with talking about the incident in 2005 that you tweeted about the other day? Can we do that?
Sure. In 2005, I was a high school basketball coach at Sanderson High School in my hometown, Raleigh, North Carolina. And my best friends, my younger brother, my godbrother, he's the godfather to my kids, Raymond Felton, NBA star and Carolina point guard. It was 2005. They had just won a national championship. He and I are riding around in Raleigh. And at the time, I have a truck and the windows are tinted on it. And I'm on the phone with my mom. And look, I come from an impoverished neighborhood, so we're very aware of the police and how they move on our side of town. So I'm on the phone with my mom, and Rhea's in the passenger seat, and I tell her, I said, Mom, I'm going to call you back because I know I'm about to get poor. And she said, no, I need you to stay on the phone with me. And I said, no, I'm going to hang up because I know I'm about to get poor. So I make a couple of turns to see if the cop is following me, and obviously he is. So he puts the siren on, we pull over. I keep my mom on speakerphone, and I put my phone on the armrest. And, before I know it, a cop just comes and he yanks my door open. And he tries to yank me out the car, and I don't go completely out the car because I have my seatbelt on. So I unhook my seatbelt, he yanks me out the car. And when he yanks me out the car, his buddy has a gun to my head. He's telling me to turn around and spread eagle and put my hands on the hood. Now, they haven't asked me anything about driver's license registration or any routine act that they're supposed to. And as I'm turning around, asking him, like, what's going on, they tell me to shut the F up. And he's taking his feet, and he's kicking my ankles, making me spread my legs. And he's frisking me and then asking me, can he search my car? And I said, no, you can't search my car. Like, for what? Like, what are you talking about? And so he said, well, y'all dope boys, ain't you? You got some dope, insinuating that we had drugs in the car or whatever. Like, it was just crazy. So he handcuffed me. I hear my mom frantically coming through the phone. Right. Mind you, this whole time, they don't even know Raymond is in the car because they ran up on my side of the car and the windows are kind of tinted. So they can't even see him. They can just hear my mom. So they handcuff me. He take my hand. He drag me to the back of the car. He shoves me down on the curb and make me sit there. Mind you, it's raining outside. I have on all white and he's just continuing to question me. I need to search your truck. I need to search your truck. And every time he's becoming more and more enraged, and he's deliberately kicking like puddles of water on me to almost humiliate me. So I'm becoming all muddy and all this. They must have called for backup because he's asking me for my driver's license and registration at this time. And I say, I memorized my driver's license number. I'll give you my number, but I'm not going in this car for you to shoot me, right? Because, again, I'm well aware of how the police treated people in the neighborhoods that I grew up in. I ain't qualified to speak from everyone else, but these are just my life experiences. So long story short, his partner comes up, and his partner has a sidekick with him, and as soon as he gets out the car, he drives on the curb where I'm sitting. And it's almost like he was trying to run me over. He stopped the car probably 5 or 6 feet away from me. He get out the car. Now, he has a gun drawn because he see this guy with a gun drawn. So his partner gets out the car as well, and he's starting to look at me as if he notices me. He gathers everyone up in the huddle, and they walk away. And I don't know exactly what they were saying, but I just heard them say Lavelle Moat. And he looks back, and he come back. He said, man, what is your name? And while I'm sitting on the curb handcuffed, I'm kind of pissed off, obviously. And I say, man, my name is Lavelle Moat. And then, again, I'm hearing my mom cry through this phone frantically. Like, I've never heard my mother like that. She's begging for them not to kill her child. And that kind of made me a bit emotional. And all of a sudden, Ray rolls down his window, and he says, Bell, man, please calm down. Please calm down. And when Ray did that, that kind of scared them because they never knew he was in the car anyway. So they run up on his side with their hand on the gun, and they look. And they said, man, this is Raymond Felton. Fortunately for us, Carolina had just won a national championship, you know, a month ago. So, you know, we on Tobacco Road. So athletes at Carolina and Duke and NC State are really well known and recognized. And so long story short, he just extended his hand and told me he apologized. And he said, man, we got a call that you fit the description, and I don't want no harsh feelings. I don't want you thinking I'm a butthole. And I told him, nah, it's too late for that. So he got in his car and they left. And I sat on that curb and I kind of cried because it was the first time in my life, you know, I felt humiliated as a man. I felt less than as a man at the hands of another man. And I had heard those stories from my grandfathers and all of my elders who told me generational stories like that, but it had never occurred to me. And the second thing was, I've never heard my mom cry that way. And that scared me and frightened me. So I kept it to the chest. I never told anyone or made it public. And the reason I never did that was because Raymond was up to get drafted the following month. And I didn't want anyone questioning the story or, you know, trying to spin it as they do in the media and perpetuate a negative image. And I didn't want to affect his draft value because I knew how much his family was relying on him for their generation of wealth. And so I just kept it close to the chest, and I just exposed it and put it on Twitter last week once the George Floyd incident happened.
And here as well, Lavelle Moton is my guest, and I appreciate you sharing that story, Lavelle, very much. Now, you write that you sat on the curb for 30 minutes, and as you just said right now, it's the first time in my life I felt less than a man. Like, your humanity was not seen. Instead, what they saw was, quote, two dope boys. What kind of an emotional scar does that leave on you?
You know, like, when you come from the neighborhoods in which I come from, I hate to say it, but you're targeted constantly. You're marginalized, and you're marginalized so much that it becomes normalcy to you, right? It was a sense of normalcy. The only reason I told that story with the cops was that was the first time I had a gun pulled on me. When I was 12 years old, my neighborhood was Lane Street Projects, and it's probably 4 or 5 blocks away from the governor's mansion. So when I was 12 years old, to raise money for my AAU trips, I would often go sell magazine subscriptions. That's just what we did back then because my mother couldn't afford to sponsor me on an AAU trip. So I sold these magazine subscriptions in this place called Historic Oakwood. And one day when I'm walking back, I'm counting my money, and we got a tournament approaching on the weekend, and I'm counting my money, and there's a cop that's coming along beside me, and he's parallel to me, and he's probably going like two miles an hour. And the first thing he says is, hey boy, where you get that money from? And I really ignored him because it was disrespectful. Even though I was 12, I'm not your boy. Like, and we all know the intent and content behind him calling me a boy. So I continued to walk, and he said, boy, you hear me? I said, where did you get that money from? And I continued to walk, and he pulled up, and he cut me off, and he got out the car. And again, he made me spread eagle. And he went in my pockets. He was checking for crack and drugs. And he went in my pockets, and I had a wad of cash from my magazine subscriptions in my pockets, and I had some in my hand. And he took my money, and he drove off. And I went in the house, Jim, and I was crying. But you got to understand, I was crying because I didn't think I would be able to go on my AAU trip. I wasn't crying because he humiliated me. Because in our neighborhood, that was every day, all day. And those are the harsh realities that we had to live with, you know, and growing up in our neighborhood and just having our dealings with the cop. We weren't treated as human beings. We were treated as targets.
Lavelle Moten is my guest. You know, it's such a difficult conversation to have, but it's such an important conversation to have. And then Sunday, you challenged white coaches in football and basketball to speak out. I want to read the quote. "I have a problem with their silence because it seems as if Black lives matter to them whenever they can benefit from it, or whenever they're getting them first downs, catching an alley-oop, or shooting a three or whatever. When it's time for humanity to speak up on behalf of the student-athlete, it's silent. It's crickets. And my problem is, if the murdering of Black Americans is too risky of an issue for them to stand up as a leader, then who are they really playing for?" End quote.
Right.
It's a really powerful statement and a powerful truth. What would you like to see coaches doing in these situations?
You know, it's amazing because as coaches, we all preach every single year to our team, 100% buy-in. And we all say, either you got 10 toes in or you're not in at all, right? And we put our hands in a huddle and we say, 1, 2, 3, family. And, you know, it just dawned on me, like, listen, man, let's stop tiptoeing this line, right? And any change that's been beneficial for Black people in this country, you know, people that didn't look like us was advocating for us and speaking up on our behalf. You know, for instance, Las Vegas is so integrated and we love it as a strip and a place of entertainment now, but that city is like that because Frank Sinatra said in the 60s, look, I know y'all love me performing here, but if you want me to continue to perform here, my buddy over here, Sammy Davis Jr., must be allowed to perform on the same stages and sleep in the same hotels and eat at the same restaurants. And the rest is history. The same thing with the 68 Olympics with John Carlos and Tommy Smith when they protested on the stand. A lot of people have to know that Peter Norman was a citizen of Australia, and he was protesting along with them for human rights. You and I are both old enough to remember MTV as music television, right, when they played videos all day. I just remember being a kid, and they were interviewing David Bowie, and they were saying how great of a pop star he is and how he has these incredible videos. And he said, well, yeah, I'm a good pop star, and I'm a great artist, and I got some really good videos, but there's a guy by the name of Michael Jackson that has great music, great videos, and you guys refuse to play him. And I insist that you guys play his music and his videos as well. And from that point, it just moved the needle forward. So I just knew if we wanted true change, if we wanted to support these Black lives and these kids and a generation that has the same complexion as George Floyd, we have to do that together. And I, as a leader, have never asked anyone to do something I'm not willing to do. Jim, if you go back in 2012, the tragedy of Sandy Hook, my basketball team, who was predominantly Black, obviously, we wore green bracelets to pay homage and love and support to those victims of Sandy Hook and their families. I've done every ALS challenge. I've done all the Coaches versus Cancer challenge. So I was just challenging all the coaches in my profession, football and basketball coaches, look, let's be real with ourselves and let's not take ourselves too seriously. Like, we're not good coaches. We're good because we have this guy that's really good that can shoot a basketball or run a football. And we've been able to create a great living, not only for ourselves, but our kids and kids that go down the road. And it's really off the talent and the labor of these student athletes. Let's show them the same act of solidarity by not only speaking out, but doing something. I don't want this to be a hollow lip service PSA and then nothing is ever done with it. Let's show up for them the way they've shown up for us. And that's all I would say.
Lavelle Moten is my guest. Lavelle, before you go, I want to get your thoughts. What kind of response have you received from coaches after you spoke out and shared your feelings?
You know what? It's been incredible. And I'm proud and I'm optimistic and where our sport and our game is going in terms of basketball coaches. I've had basketball coaches, fans, athletic directors. It's been an overwhelming response of love and support and saying, look, what do I need to do? How can I do X, Y, Z? And we have some things that we're creating right now, you know, as basketball coaches that we think can help. But we just need to stop tiptoeing this line and stop closing the blind eye, because enough is enough. And there's no time to be politically correct when you are seeing the murder of young black men on this TV. We have to speak up, because we've always been advocates. So the outcome and the outcry and the messages have been 1,000% supportive. And I'm in a place where, you know, I'm surrounded by Duke in North Carolina on Tobacco Road. I'm 5 or 10 minutes from each one. And I'm really good friends with Coach K and Roy Williams. And I know what they do. I know what they do behind the scenes. You know, they've always been extremely supportive in the community. And it's something that the world don't know about. But they're incredible. And I just want everyone else to do the groundwork and show acts of solidarity by, you know, just speaking out, man, and doing something about this and getting this and provoking this change together.
Lavelle Moten is my guest. I've been saying this all week long, that this is a conversation that's going to make a number of you uncomfortable, but it's time, I think, that we all get comfortable being uncomfortable. He's the head basketball coach at NC Central. He is Hattie Mack's baby boy. He is Lavelle Moten. Lavelle, I appreciate you very much, and I appreciate your thoughts. Thank you very much for coming on and sharing your thoughts.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate you having me.
Appreciate you, Coach. Lavelle Moten. All right. Telephone line is open, and it's toll-free. It's a very, very powerful conversation. Lavelle Moten, my guest. All right. We'll take a short time out. You know where to find me if you want to react to that. You have a telephone number. You can get me on Twitter at Jim Rome. You can also email the program directly. Still ahead, Pierre McGuire, top of the hour. Kevin Byard in hour number three. Right now, here is a sports.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. My thanks to Lavelle Moten, and what an extremely powerful conversation that was. And I'm going to get into why we're talking about this, why we're still doing this, why when you come here looking to escape, you're not necessarily getting that escape. I'll pick that all up in a minute. Some quick reaction, though. Jeffrey C. Kelly tweets at Jim Rome. For those of you who are sick of hearing about this topic, think about those of us who are living it. Are you listening? Thanks again, Jim, and thank you for sharing your story, Coach Lavelle Moten. Mike in LFK tweets, great interview with at Lavelle Moten. Thanks for not avoiding this issue and hitting it head on all week. Those that leave the show behind are showing their true colors and where they stand on this issue. Warn not sticking your head in the sand. I am Jonesy3 on Twitter. Holy bleep. That interview with Lavelle Moten was powerful and spine-chilling. It enrages me to hear something happen to people like that. Thomas tweets, Jim, that conversation with Coach may have been the single most powerful and amazing one that I've heard on your program. You know, in terms of Rome, they don't pay you to do that. That's not why we listen to you. We need someplace to go to get away from this. This is why I tuned in today, and you're doing it too. Why is that? And the answer is this. Not talking about this and ignoring this means that I'm tolerating this. Not talking about this would suggest that I think that it's okay. And yes, I know it's going to be hard for some of you to hear. I know some of you are going to be angry. I know some of you will leave the show and never come back. I know some of you are getting your feelings hurt. But listen to what the man just said. Listen to that story from 2005. How about that story when he was 12? And he was selling magazine subscriptions because his family could not afford to pay for the AAU events. And that a cop went into his pocket and took the money and left and was looking for drugs but he was just out in the street as a kid trying to make money so he could play basketball. I understand that this makes a lot of you angry and uncomfortable. But again, it's time to get more comfortable being uncomfortable. I mean, how many of you listening? I speak for myself. I've never had to experience anything like that before. So again, no, I'm not an expert. I am not an expert. I do not have all the answers. I might not have even one answer. I might make mistakes in this. I might misstep. But my so-called agenda is to get better and to try and do right. So that's why we're talking about this. And that's why we're going to continue to talk about this, because to ignore it would be to tolerate it or condone it. And I don't. 1-800-636-8686. If you want to share your thoughts, go ahead. This guy says, Rome, your interview just now with Coach Moten struck a chord with me, having grown up in Raleigh. I know all the neighborhoods that he was talking about. And about the only thing I can think to say is, I had no idea it was like that. The only worry we had, a police growing up, was whether they would pour out our beer and call our parents. Keep up the great work. Joel in Winston-Salem. All right, top of the hour, I've got Peter McGuire, so I've got some time right now for a phone call or two before we talk some hockey. If you want to call, do it now. 1-800-636-8686. We go to South Carolina. Richard, nice to have you on, Richard. How are you?
Good, Rome. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to let you know one thing. I respect you more for what you've done this week. If you went into sports, and there is no sports, I know they help us. I'm a Vietnam vet. I'm 71 years old. In 71 years, I've been through a lot. When you were at war, you had each other's back. I don't care what color you were, you had each other's back. You're a human being. The movie Remember the Titans, I grew up in Virginia, and I lived about 25 minutes from T.C. Williams, and that's where the movie was made. The first Friday night game, and this is when they started integrating the schools and all, they had a hell of a riot that they canceled the rest of T.C. Williams' game, home games for the rest of the year. They had to play somewhere else. You know, enough's enough. Those officers that killed Mr. Floyd, they should have been locked up and put in jail the first day, not 4 or 5 days later. They got to do it. What's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. I love your show. I listen to you every day, and I respect you for coming out. Sports isn't everything. There's some things more important in life than sports, and this is more important, and I really love the interview that you had with the coach right before. Thank you so much. Don't ever give up, and I love you. You do what you feel is right for this country, and I appreciate you more. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Richard. Welcome home. Welcome home. He's a Vietnam vet, and I appreciate your service very much, Richard. Welcome home. You know, this whole thing about just stick to sports, Rome. Just do your job. Do your job and stick to sports. And my reaction is twofold. Number one, there are no sports. What would you like me to talk about? And number two, if there were sports, we would still be talking about this. Because believe it or not, even though this is the toy department and you are coming here to get an escape, perhaps, we're not escaping this. We need to hit this straight head on. We need to talk about this. And in terms of what we're talking about this week, we are talking about this. I've led every show this week with it, but we are talking about some other things. But let's keep the main thing the main thing, the most important thing. And it's this topic. It's Richard in South Carolina, a Vietnam vet. 1-800-636-8686. And again, we will do some other interviews. Peter McGuire is going to join me, and we'll talk some hockey with him. Kevin Byard will be joining me in hour number three. We'll talk some football with him and more. And I do have other takes and topics that are not related to the issue, but I do have some takes and topics that are related to the issue that we're going to get to. Let's quickly go to Texas. Johnny, nice to have you. Johnny, how are you?
Hey, Jimmy, how's it going, man? Listen, I just absolutely moved, literally to tears by listening to Coach Moten share his experience. And I don't know what it's like to live as a African-American human being in this country, but as a Latino man, I do have a certain experience. And so the first thing is I want to applaud you for having the moral backbone to talk about this on your sports radio show. This is really the most important topic, as you just said. I also want to say to all my brothers and sisters out there who carry a badge and a gun and try to do the best work they can, not every one of these cops is like these people who murdered Mr. Floyd. The majority of the police officers that I know in law enforcement are good, solid people, and they raise families, and they do well for their communities. So there's bad apples in every bunch. But right now, we need to heal, and we need to tackle this topic head on.
Let me jump in on you. Johnny, sorry to do that, but we are at the end of the hour. But I want to get your call in, and I appreciate your thoughts. When we come back, talk some hockey. Pierre McGuire joins us, and then we can reset on the other side and take more telephone calls. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Hour number two coming up next.